let's get rid of that. Sorry. We need, you know what? I don't know. I have a lot of pride. Like I said, there's a part of me, I think I told Anna this today around 11 o'clock yesterday, that I went into this impassioned speech, to my son in the car as we were going to get snacks or coming back. And I'm like, this right here, there is nothing that makes me happier, except for you, than the hour before kickoff of opening day of Bears football, right? Nothing. And then you watch the game and you say, okay, here we go. This game starts and you're like, oh man, there's some competency here. They're catching the ball. They're moving around. They're finding Alshon. They were able to get a 2-minute two-minute drill going. They got a touchdown. I did the pump and I flexed my muscle at halftime. That's how you play football. And then it unraveled. Doug Plank joins me now. The Doug Plank, number 46, NFL analyst and a member of the Download crew who joins us every Monday. This is our first time to debrief when it comes to Bears regular season football. Doug Plank, good to talk to you, buddy. How are you?
Justin, always, always a pleasure. And I have to agree with you. I'll tell you, I think you nailed this assessment of what took place and how it was executed.
All right, so let's start with that. Overall, the Chicago Bears coming in were the underdog. I mean, obviously playing on the road against a playoff team that there are high hopes with a new free agent quarterback with Brock Osweiler. There were high hopes. They're even talking about Super Bowl. They even did the NFL Today, the Fox Sports show before, from Houston. I mean, everything was in Houston's favor. But the Bears, they came out strong, and right off the bat, it looked like we might have a shot.
I thought it was outstanding. I mean, I'm looking at the first half of the game, I thought they were flying around, really playing aggressive. They had some, mostly from an offensive standpoint, I think that, they were very efficient, as far as even on third downs, maybe not as quite as what they could have done. I thought their players made some plays. They were well covered, and their defense, they were in position to make plays, and they made plays. I mean, that's what was great about it. I mean, it just – the game's probably come down to maybe 5, possibly even 10 plays a game. But you know what? You look at that first half, whether it was an interception, a reception on offense, just the confidence. I'm a big believer in body language, and this was truly a game of two halves. To look at the body language on the sideline, even out on the field for the Chicago Bears, it was like two different football games.
Yeah. And obviously body language starts and stops with the quarterback, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler started off pretty strong. He seemed to be in control of this new offense with the new offensive coordinator. He seemed to move the ball at will. They seemed to be finding, he was doing what he does best, which is be able to throw the ball up to Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, it felt like he was in command of this Bears team.
Yeah, and I think he was. There's one thing, though, that starts changing your attitude. And that is when you start getting hit and knocked on the ground. There were the Texans were able to sack the Bears 5 times. And obviously, Jay afterwards said that he felt, quite sore as a result of all those hits. That has an impact on a quarterback. I mean, maybe a quarterback that's 6'4", a Cam Newton, maybe he could take that. But when you're a smaller quarterback, maybe not built as much. I'll tell you what, those things are cumulative and they add up. And you could just see, especially in that second half, gosh, they just started getting pressure. I was surprised how easy their defense came around on the edges. It's almost like they were letting that guy go, thinking he wouldn't get there in time. But too many times they just allowed that defensive end to come off the edge, and he just had a straight run and hit Jay, I don't say going at full speed, but when you're that size and you can hit a guy smaller, I think you can do some damage.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. If you want to join the conversation, talk to Doug Plank. Give us your thoughts on what happened yesterday with the Bears' loss in Houston. I have to say, as a football player, and you've gone through this, and give us some insight to this, when a player like Jay Cutler continues to get hit like that and he gets a little bit sore, it seemed to me as the game went on that Jay Cutler seemed to hold the ball longer. That it felt like, he wasn't necessarily taking shots when he needed or get rid of the ball when he needed to. Was that part of the fact that he'd been sort of thrown around the field and also sort of the game was too tight for him to make a mistake?
You know what happens to Justin? I think sometimes we all forget some of the basics of our position. Like, for example, at quarterback, you know, get rid of the ball early, especially if your offensive line isn't being real effective. And they were effective in the first half, but you could tell in the second half, they just, you know, the two evaluation measures of offense and defense. On offense, how long can you sustain a block? And on defense, how fast can you get off a block? And that was the two stories of this game. In the first half, if you watch, they were giving Jay plenty of time back in the pocket, find receivers downfield, move. I'm not saying he was scampering around back in the pocket, but he was moving left and right and finding throwing lanes. In the second half, it was like it all totally collapsed. It's almost like you were watching a regular season game in the first half and then a preseason game in the second half, because the breakdown in mental assignments as well as physical, I mean, I couldn't believe it. You know, the consistency and how well they played in the first half. And then that in the second half, I just think he started losing some of his confidence. He realized that he was getting a much more of a pass rush than he was in the first half. And, you know, some of that has to be put on the offensive line. I just don't think in the second half especially, you know, and what it boils down to, Justin, is on the third downs. Obviously, third downs basically dictate games. When you look at the third down situation in the second half, they only converted two first downs on eight attempts. I mean, that is not good.
No,
you know,
exactly.
You cannot win converting 25% of your third downs.
When you're an analyst and a player, but when you see a tale of two cities, like the tale of two tapes, like you saw in this game where the first half and the second half are Jekyll and Hyde, is that a halftime adjustment? Did the Texans make an adjustment that the Bears didn't?
You know what? I have to totally, I think I can't say enough about coaching and making adjustments. You know, I was fortunately able to coach for 13 years in the Arena League, college, and in the NFL. And, you know, that's what halftime is all about. It's about making the adjustments, being able to go in there and do the right thing and give your offense and defense a chance. And the same thing is true for college. You know, you can't go in there and just keep doing the same thing. I think what Houston did, they mixed up their coverages a little bit more in the secondary. And certainly what they did was they started sending an extra guy in the second half on pass rush. And it was very, very effective because I think that, you know, the coverage tightened up in the secondary. And they just weren't making the catches that they did in the first half.
Yeah, I want to take a quick break so we stay on time here, and I want to bring in some people too to talk. But you know, it did seem like there were a couple miscues by some rookies on the field or second year guys that really, really hurt the team. I want to talk to you about that, Doug, about the idea of rookies in big situations and what it means when they don't necessarily make the play. Doug Plank, my guest tonight here, as he is every Monday night, breaking down what happened on Sunday for the Bears. We'll take a quick break. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back at it. Stay with us. That's how we roll. The Bears are gonna rock. That's how. It's a download here. We're breaking down the Chicago Bears' loss to the Houston Texans with our man Doug Plank, well, Chicago Bear great, good old number 46, NFL analyst, and our regular contributor here on the download Monday nights. As I mentioned right before we went to the break, Doug, the breakdowns that really hurt the Bears in two different occasions came from guys who had never been in a regular season game before. Cody Whitehair, who was playing center for, I don't know, the first time in his career. And Kevin White, who was playing wide receiver, who seemed to go the wrong way on a route. Talk about that. I mean, when the rookies get to the big stage, you know, how does a team make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, you know, usually you try to do that in preseason through exhibition. But, you know, like I said, you can tell that unless players are put in situations in practice or in exhibition season, they will usually not perform. And I tell people this all the time. You have to give credit to a lot of organizations that put players in first, second, third, fourth down situations, even special teams. You know, when it comes down to that last second and you're asking a player to do something, you can't just draw it up on a sideline and say, okay, I want you to do this, this, and this.
Yeah, right.
Well, if he hasn't done it in practice, it probably isn't going to happen. And I think that was pretty much a situation. You can't fumble the ball on fourth and inches. I mean, that just can't happen. you know, you have to practice that play over and over and over again. So it just becomes, you don't even think about it. You just go out there and react and you do it. You know, things like that, like I said, especially that fourth down fumble, that was big. And, you know, you can blame it on a center because he's the one that obviously starts the action and snaps it back. And, you know, that was definitely a miscue by the Chicago Bears.
You know, other than that, the offensive line, especially in the first, half, seemed to be put together, as you mentioned. The second half, they came undone. There's been a lot said about Josh Sitton coming to Chicago, Kyle Long playing his natural position, Cody Whitehair in the center. They were talking him up during the Fox broadcast. But as you mentioned, the two tackles on both sides, left and right, seemed to have their hands full and exposed what could be a problem for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, you know, and it was. You know, just looking at the highlights, you know, you can watch the game, but then you can see somebody put a highlight reel together, and then, you know, seeing, you know, plays happen back-to-back, like players coming off the edge. What these games are the game plan for the weeks that are coming up. So when other teams watch the Chicago Bears and the Texans, they're going to pick out all the plays where the weaknesses. And they were going to use all those same plays again. Those are going to be in their game plan for the next week until the Bears can prove that they can't, you know, that they can block it, that they can get by on that play. So I promise you, they're going to be getting outside pass rush incredibly over the next couple weeks. And they're going to do everything they can to put pressure on those centers to try to induce another fumble.
Great.
I know that's not good
news. That's not what I like to hear.
There was good news. How about that last drive the Bears had in the end of the first half where they drove 75 yards, I think in just three plays, culminating with that 20-yard, 19-yard touchdown by Royal. That was outstanding. And you think about that. They had 75 yards in one drive, and then you look at the second half, they only gained 71 total yards the whole second half. And they only had four first downs. I mean, that's how bad it was.
Yeah, and Alshon Jeffrey played strong in the first half, was absent in the
very
second.
Strong.
But let's talk about Kevin White, the other sort of rookie, I guess, since he didn't play at all last year, second-year guy, first-round pick. He had obviously a missed route where he went. He didn't seem to run the route.
Yes.
Even the corner was covering the route in which they thought Kevin White was going to run. We saw a false start that he had. You know, which is never good for a wide receiver. We also saw him miss a ball that was tough. It was a low ball, but it was on a play that we needed where Jay Cutler got hammered and he couldn't come up with it. Not a strong first day for a guy that we're putting a lot of sort of our faith in for the offense of the Bears.
No, and you know, that's why being a football player is more than just running a fast 40 or having athletic skills and having speed and all that sort of thing. Where are you on third down and fourth down? The two most important plays, obviously, in football. And, you know, you got to make the catch. You have to come up with a play. You know, I get so angry as a coach when I would watch wide receivers. Why would a wide receiver ever, ever, ever be offsides or have, you know, false motion? I mean, you are all alone out there. No, it's around you. You're just watching. I mean, come on. That's a mental error. It has nothing to do with, they call it, you know, motion and stuff like that being physical, but no, it's a pure mental error. And I just think, you know, whatever happened, I don't know if it's the old drinking the Kool-Aid or whatever. They went into that halftime thinking, you know what, we're a pretty good football team. We're on the road. We're going to come up with the win. And they came out, and I just really think you cannot have that much difference between the first and second half without a change of mindset. And they certainly had a change of mindset when they went into that locker room.
All right, let's talk about some of the positives, at least on the defensive side of the ball. Two names that stuck out, or three guys that everyone paid attention to yesterday. The two linebackers, inside linebackers, Jarrell Freeman and Danny Trevathan, and the new outside linebacker rookie, Leonard Floyd, who got his first NFL sack. They showed that they had instinct. And I think that that's what it was. It seemed like every time that the Houston Texans wanted to make a play, one of those three guys was around the ball.
Yeah, you know what? Really, Floyd, I thought that, you know, he was more of an athlete than trying to run through people. I mean, he really showed me something. He had six tackles, You said he was involved in that sack. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everybody you talked to, they played extremely physical and tough. I was really impressed with how fast those guys got to the football. And when they got there, they made good tackles. You could tell they were well-coached, well-prepared for the game. And even the secondary. I mean, I think the secondary played well at times, you know, where there were other times where they just, you know, got matched up and there was relatively close coverage. You know, they just didn't make the play, with the plays, the same plays that they were making in the first half. So, you know, that's why I say, you know, when you're in a game like that, and all of a sudden your offense dropped down in production, only getting 71 yards, that means your defense is on the field a lot more of the time. And you just start mentally and physically getting worn down.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that.
That's what happened to the Bear defense.
That, I mean, I remember that being an issue with Urlacher and Briggs, and you would have a dominant football game, but you'd have Kyle Orton or Rex Grossman just sort of three and out, Lovie Smith in the ball, where they would just punt and let the defense win. And it felt like with 3 minutes, 4 minutes to play, you always saw the Bears defense on their back, you know, getting pushed back as you know, sort of not being able to come up with a stop at the end of the game. That has to do a lot with mental fatigue, being on the field for too long?
There's no doubt. I mean, you know, plus physically, I mean, I know everyone's cut back now in preseason and the players are feeling, you know, a lot better in terms of physically and being, you know, rested and all that sort of thing. But the bottom line is, you're out on the field like that a long time. I'm not saying you get mad at the other side. Like if you're on defense, your offense, like I said, they only gained 71 yards in the second half. That meant the defense was out there a tremendous amount of time. You almost, you know, develop a bitterness. Like, hey, listen, guys, you need to help us out. You need to at least get first downs. If you don't score, at least give us a break. Let us rest over there on the sideline. Don't put us in a situation where we just got to, you know, keep going out there over and over and over again.
312-981-7200. I got a couple texts to read for you. But you know what? Let's save them. We'll do it on the second half of the news, if that's okay with you, Doug, if you can stick around.
Yes.
312-981-7200. We're talking about the Bears' loss to the Texans. And the question that I want to ask, and we'll do it after the break, is really just about, you know, looking at this team and what the team said after the game, just about we're this close, you know, we made mental mistakes that we know we're better than, we're this close to gelling. I think gelling was the word that John Fox used. Is that a reality when it comes to this Bears team? Could they be able to go and be able to turn it on and beat a team like Philadelphia next week on Monday Night Football? That's the question we'll continue to ponder with Doug Plank and you, 312-981-7200. Stay with us.
Some folks say there ain't no bears in Arkansas. Some folks never seen a bear at all. Some folks say the bears go around eating babies raw. And some folks got a bear across the hall.
Well, Lyle Lovett to get us into Bears postgame. I'll take it. The Chicago Bears lost yesterday to the Houston Texans. They're 0-1 in the NFC North, which saw all three teams win. The Lions in dramatic fashion. The Packers in dramatic fashion. The Vikings. I don't even know how the Titans. I don't even know what's going on there. Doug Plank joins us. Good old number 46. Greatest safety of all time here in Chicago. And he, of course, covers NFL football. He's an analyst, and he's also here on The Download every Monday night. Doug, let's keep the conversation going. I have a couple questions that have come in for you. You know, when you have it, most of it's funny. When I ask people, hey, let's ask here's a good one. I have a good text that came in from 773 that asks, what do you as an analyst, what do you focus on when you're watching a game? What's your style? What's your discipline like?
I immediately, number one, I love, like I said before, I love watching the sidelines, because I think that if you don't even look at the field and you just look at all the activity on the sidelines, you can tell who's winning. And, you know, there's some teams that, you know, just have a natural energy, and they're always, you know, if they're not in the game, they're always trying to fight to get back. I loved that game yesterday with the Chiefs. You know, those guys were still flying around when they were getting beat so bad in that game, and they came back and ended up, I mean, you always have to believe in yourself. As an analyst, of course, you got to watch the football just like every other fan in America, but, you know, you bring in peripheral vision. I never really had good peripheral vision, you know, when I was in college playing at Ohio State. I came to Chicago Bears. I started playing a position I had never played before, free safety. I was I was always a cornerback or a strong safety. Never had played the position, but there was a kid injured, and they said, who's played free safety in here? You know what? I was a 12th round draft pick. If I didn't start doing something fast, my butt was going to get cut, and I was going to be back in Ohio so fast I didn't know what was happening. So I stuck my hand up. Hey, I've done it before. I'd never played free safety. So I started learning the position. I would stand in the back by where the goal posts were when the offense was coming towards me, and I would try to concentrate on the split of the two receivers and be able to see them in my vision and then analyze everything in between. And wow. So, you know, it's the same thing now as an analyst. I do watch the ball, but my peripheral vision, I look at both receivers, the defensive backs, I see how deep they are at the snap of the ball. And the other thing is, the guys that don't lie, the offensive line, if they're going to pass, they're leaning back in their stance. If it's a running play, they're going to lean forward and put all the weight on their hands, which is usually on the ground. So you can usually tell run pass right away, and then you just look at body language, and you do it enough times over and over and over again, you start getting tendencies. I hate to be an analyst, though, and talk in that acronym like a lot of analysts do, acting like they're so smart. Some of those guys have no idea what they're talking about. They're throwing out blue zone, red zone, white zone, three technique. You know what? I'm sorry. If my wife can't understand what I'm saying, then I'm not going to say it.
There you go. Doug Blank. I love it. Okay, so one of the things we haven't talked about, which I think has been another strength, even though we didn't see it, we saw it in quick sputters, was the Bears' running game. It kind of got off to a slow start, but Jeremy Langford seemed to pick up some steam. The announcers on Fox, they seemed to really love it. Langford played at Michigan State. He all knows about the game. He gets stronger as he goes on. And as they were saying it, they seemed like they jinxed him because at that point, he just got shut down. But the point being that there were some, I would say, some positives with Jeremy Langford running the rock.
You know what? That was a big concern, don't you think, about the Chicago Bears, whether they were going to be able to maintain the same running game they had over the last couple of years. And I agree with what you're saying, Justin. I think, you know, they fought back. I thought he ran the ball very well. You know, that certainly didn't cost them the game. You know, it was the mental errors, you know, the bad snap on that fourth down in inches. That was big. I think just the general breakdown. It just looked to me like, you know, when I'm a coach, I want to turn a game film on. I want to see the same effort in the fourth quarter that I see in the first quarter. And I'll be honest with you, when I watched the Bears game, I didn't see that same effort.
Okay, so some other questions coming in. 312 wants to know, I felt like the broadcast spent a lot of time on J.J. Watt. As a former defensive player, do you feel like there's just too much hype around a guy like J.J. Watt? Is he overrated?
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, I don't know if he's overrated or not. He does have a pretty cool name, you know, J.J. Watt. I mean, it's kind of flows off your tongue real easy. He's done some tremendous things in the past, you know, in terms of taking over games and making fantastic defensive plays. But here's what happens. Before the game starts, all these announcers and the producer down in the truck, they have all these storylines that they go over before the game starts. It doesn't matter whether J.J. Watt didn't even come to the stadium. He was still going to get talked about.
Yeah, right.
Because you know what? They had made graphics, and they had gone over it the night before, and he was going to be the guy that they were going to talk about. So you know what? Everybody thinks it's very casual and impromptu, all these discussions during the games. I got to tell you, it's so much of it's prompted, you can't believe it. Even the guys down in the truck telling the announcers what to say during the game. That even happens. So, you know, it's almost like you're in an echo chamber and you're just repeating what somebody else says. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't care if that producer down the truck tells me something had happened. I know it didn't happen. You know, we're going to go to blows. I am not going to repeat what he told me to say. I'm going to say something else.
I like it. That's what we like to hear of our analysts. Okay. 708 wants to know if the great John Fox can get the Bears ready to play on Monday night. And I think that's a good question about what does John Fox have to do to motivate a team that had this kind of Jekyll and Hyde performance in Houston?
You know what? This is a scary situation for a coach to be in. I've had a few teams that I've coached in the past before or been part of a staff that had this much change. Here's what we always thought of just from a coaching staff as far as a player goes. I don't really care how good a player is if he's got a huge range. In other words, Justin, if he shows up one night and he can do anything, and then the next week he can't do anything, his range, he's like on a bell curve. He's at the very top and at the very bottom. I want guys, their best and their worst performances are very narrow. So I know on his worst day, I can still win with that guy. Okay, he might be the best player in the league on certain days, but when he's bad, he's really, really bad.
Yeah.
And to me, it looked like that's what took place last weekend. You know, how does he change it? I don't know. I think delivery, number one, you know, just getting honest with those players and start holding them accountable. And you can do it in a lot of different ways, in meetings, you know, calling players out. I tell you what, no player wants to be called out in front of the rest of the players. I mean, you talk about getting a chip on your shoulder, getting mad, getting angry, whatever. You know, that's the way. This is not a fun game to play. You go out and play football. Oh, I love playing football. No. During the game, this is life and death. And you're out there trying to protect the brand of the Chicago Bears and the longevity of your career.
All right. Well, Chicago Bears 0-1 in a division that unfortunately all three of the other teams won. They're 1-0. We open up on Monday Night Football. For you, Doug, I mean, for being a coach and a player, but when you get these primetime games, when you play in front of a national audience, is it different for the player? Do you get jacked up for the idea it's a home opener and it's on Monday Night Football?
Well, number one, everybody likes to say, coaches say, oh, it's the same. It doesn't matter. Well, let me tell you, over the last two seasons, the Bears have been 3-13 at home. They only won one home game last year. I promise you, if I was playing on this team or I was coaching on this football team, this would be a big deal to me. I'm treating this game like it's Super Bowl. We've got to win it. And there's a whole bunch of studies out there already that if you lose the first game of the year, how it adversely affects your ability to make the playoffs. And it's been proven for years and years in the National Football League. I'm not saying the Bears, it's over. No, but you know what? They cannot afford to lose against a good Philadelphia team. I mean, Philadelphia is very confident. They won very handily against the Browns their first game of the year. This is going to be a tough game, and the Bears better start getting ready right now.
All right, 7-7-3, we'll end it here. With love the segment. There will never be another safety like Doug Plank. Do you still keep in contact with Gary Fensick, and do you feel like you could play the style in which you played today in the NFL?
Gosh, you know what? I don't even know what is legal now in terms of hit. You know, is it your intent or is it the way you actually contact players? I know there's a very small little zone now. And when I was a player, you know, they would call me, hey, Doug, you use your helmet too much. You ran and hit the player. But then we would go on offense and Walter Payton would use his helmet to run over everybody on defense.
Right.
I'm thinking, where is this fair? He just did 10 times in one play, which it might take me two games, you know, you hit that many guys. And so at least it's consistent now, you know, they'll call it on both offense and defense. It was such a thrill, you know, to have played both in college and especially for the Chicago Bears. And, but I don't know. I don't know if I think my salary and the suspensions would probably be coming because, you know, I don't think I would change my style.
All right. And they want to know if you're still in contact with Gary Fensick.
Yes. You know, how can you not? I mean, Gary and I, when we see each other, it's like we just saw each other last week. I mean, the conversation just goes. We have such fantastic memories. Not that we need to keep rehashing them every time. But, you know, the respect level is off the charts. I mean, anytime that I ever felt like I get out of position, it is so nice to know you're out there playing with a guy that is not just playing his position, but he's adjusting to what you're doing. And I tried to do the same thing for him. If he went hard inside, I would take the outside. But it was a lot of it was not even communicated. You just did it instinctively.
Yeah.
And that's what playing with him was such a thrill.
Doug Plank, who joins us every Monday to break down the Bears game. He did so, even though this was a tough one, a tough loss for the Bears. He'll be back next week. I think we'll figure out Monday or Tuesday. We'll talk with you around the scheduled Monday Night Football next week. Doug Plank, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Justin. Hopefully a big win.
Big win.